The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Coleman,
here. Connolly,
here.
Davison,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Filer,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
excused.
Gay, excused, Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Halverson, Halverson, Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Hutchings,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller, Miller, Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Simlett,
here.
Summers,
here.
Stubson, Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne, Wallace,
here.
Walters,
here.
Watt excused, Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Miller,
excuse.
Miller excused, 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Harvey Seidel representing the First Baptist Church, Thermopolis.
It's an honor for me to be here today and to pray for you. I want you to know that not only do our congregation and other congregations across our state pray regularly for you, but we are honored that you are serving in the legislature here in Wyoming. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus to thank you for these men and women who have given their time and their life during this legislature. We pray for their families. We pray for their decisions. We thank you for every one of them. We thank you that government is ordained of God and that these men and women are our representatives. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And our Heavenly Father, we ask that you give them great wisdom. You said in your word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and I pray for them to have wisdom. And we thank you most of all for the freedom that we have in this great state of Wyoming. We thank you for the United States of America. And Lord, we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Without order, business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 25th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Kimberly Broomfield, MD from Cheyenne. Welcome, doctor. Chairman Davison, would you like privilege of the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a couple of special people here to take care of Representative Yagi, and please don't cause a disturbance.
Our nurses of the day are Kimberly Glasscock and Peggy Highslope from the Castle Rock Hospital District. Welcome to the House. Brothers and sisters, in anticipation of Chairman Harshman's amendment coming out 2 minutes before the session started, and in anticipation of you wanting to read it, we have a whole series of special events today. The first one, you'll find on your desks seedling burr oak plants in pots decorated by the students at Alta Vista Elementary School here in Cheyenne. These students are joining us here in the gallery today. Please help us welcome them to the House. Students, welcome to the House. These trees have been provided to thank you for your service and to celebrate our school trust lands. The lands were granted to Wyoming at statehood in 1890 for the benefit of the school children in our state. The next order of business is, Representative Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and former member of the House of Representatives from the northern part of the state is up in the balcony. I know that we could offer him the microphone, but he probably won't accept. But nonetheless, let's give a good round of applause to Bill Binsel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the South Gallery, could you help me welcome a group of wonderful young women, the Kiwanis Junior Leaders of Laramie?
Members of the House, this morning we are joined by Beau and Haggard. These two canines were the first two dogs brought to Wyoming in September 2005 to establish the Homeland Security Explosives Detection Canine Program. These dogs have been on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the last 8 years and have responded to over 150 calls. Their handlers, Larry Green and Larry Majerus, have had the privilege of being their drivers for these many years and will provide their retirement homes. Please help me in thanking these dogs and their handlers for the service to our state.
Mr. Speaker, Speaker, thank you. Members of the Wyoming House, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come today. It's a special privilege to be able to bring Beau and Haggard here today, who have done great service to the state of Wyoming, and they will be retiring here this spring. And it's Mr. Speaker, it's a real pleasure every day to come to work. It's a calming effect in our agency, and these dogs are very special. When they're at work, they're calm, they're like a pet, but when you put that harness on them, they know it's time to go to work on behalf of the state and to work on behalf of the residents of our community. So thank you, Mr. Speaker and Representative Berger. Thank you for the invitation today, and thanks for having us. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Hutchings.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to let everybody know I have a very, 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 very special intern. He was given a waiver. He's 15, or he was 15. Today he turned 16, and I wanted you guys all to wish him happy birthday, Alex Cole.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Blake, would you? Brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure to welcome one of the newest performing organizations from the University of Wyoming campus, the UW Singing Statesmen. This choir brings together a group of talented young men who enjoy making music that is unique to the university, state, and region. The group has been selling singing valentines to raise money for a trip they are taking later this year, so they will be joining us this morning as a gift from the League of Women Voters of Laramie. Please help me in welcoming the UW Singing Statesmen.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us here today, gentlemen. The singing statesman from the University of Wyoming, and thanks to the League of Women Voters of Laramie for this great and belated Valentine's Day gift. Representative Paxton, privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor. It's my pleasure to introduce one of my former students who is a part of this group, Jonathan Padishall Baker, and no, I did not teach him how to sing. You're fortunate.
Thank you all very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now one of a very special event, probably one never seen before in these chambers. One of our members has made a request to make a hair donation to another one of our members. Hair donation allows one person to give another person something back they have lost due to cancer treatments. We are honored today to be able to have Representative Berger just do that in honor of Representative Mary Throne. The hair which Representative Berger will donate will be sent to Pantene for a wig which will then be given to the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Wyoming affiliate. Susie Escobel, board president, is accepting the hair on behalf of the Komen, Wyoming, and presenting Rosie with a certificate for a makeover at New Wave Salon, as well as a certificate acknowledging her donation. Representative Throne is receiving a certificate acknowledging a donation has been made in her honor. Thank you to the members of the House for allowing this unique event to happen before you today. Thank you, Representative Berger, for your donation, and Representative Throne for your courage. Thank you. We're at that order of business of signing enrolled acts. Mr. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
I think it's an appropriate time to make one last pitch for the Susan B. Komen Race for the Cure. A number of you have given us contributions, and we're having them tallied up. But this is a very important function. You do not have to run. You can be a phantom runner, or you can be just a donator. But if you can find the time and the interest, it is the largest effort to identify breast cancer early, and we've just experienced, as you know, in our House of Representatives, the value of catching it at the right time. So I would just urge you to do anything you can, and Representative Esquivel might comment too.
All I can say to that is ditto.
Any other privileges of the floor? With that order of business of signing enrolled acts, the first enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 99, being Original House Bill 132.
Enrolled Act number 99, from Original House Bill number 132, an act relating to the Chiropractic Licensing Act.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 99, being Original House Bill 132. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act 100, being Original House Bill 217.
Enrolled Act number 100, from Original House Bill number 217, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 100, being Original House Bill 217. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for a consideration is House Enrolled Act 101, being Original House Bill 228.
Enrolled Act number 101, from Original House Bill number 228, an act relating to public lands.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 101, being Original House Bill 228. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for a consideration is House Enrolled Act 102, being Original House Bill 235.
Enrolled Act number 102, from Original House Bill 235, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 102, being Original House Bill 235. I have so signed. And last Enrolled Act for a consideration this morning is House Enrolled Act 103, being Original House Bill 250.
Enrolled Act number 103, from Original House Bill number 250, an act relating to public employees.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 103, being Original House Bill 250. I have so signed. With that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The only concurrence request we have is message 411 on House Bill 237. Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, if I can get my voice under control here, I would like to move message number 411 regarding House Bill 237, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct, and request your concurrence. I visited with the sponsor of this bill, and he feels it's in keeping with the intent. In Grohl's copy, the Senate took out the sentence, misconduct connected with work does not include ordinary negligence in isolated instances or good faith errors. And so changes the definition of misconduct connected with work, and I would request your concurrence.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Boy, with everything you've had go on this morning, it's pretty hard to follow everything that's been done here this morning. But I'm up here to speak also for this concurrence. I know it takes out the last sentence in here, lines 5 and 6 on page 2, but I I believe that this is covered anywhere anyway in the determination on the Supreme Court. Their last sentence on the definition of misconduct under the Wyoming Employment Security Law means inefficiency or failure in good performance as the result of inability or incapacity, ordinary negligence in isolated instances, or good faith errors in judgment or discretion are not deemed to be misconduct within the meaning of the law. So I believe that that's covered anyway there, Mr. Speaker, and I would encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion on message number 411 on House Bill 237? We're voting to concur on the motion, or we voted on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 237. The majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Seiler, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller excused, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton, Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Filer, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
For your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 237. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate files 56, 66, 149, 153, and 160.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate file 56 from Senator Case, an act relating to adult protective services, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 66 from the Select Natural Resources Funding Committee, an act relating to state-funded conservation easements, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 149 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 153 from Senator Landon, an act relating to unemployment insurance, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 160 from Senator Geis, an act relating to pesticides, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquivel,
Filer, Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 56, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 66, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 149, are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Lubnow, Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Simlick, aye to no. Are there further Northrup, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 153, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 160, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 56, 66, 149, 153, and 160 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker and members, this is the same amendment that we visited about last Friday on Committee of the Whole, and I appreciate all the good discussion. And it's been really a learning process for me and for all of us. And so I wanted to bring this back so we could have more discussion and give us another chance to work on this. Members, the amendment and I think the blue sheet that, and I know how things go into my circle file after defeats. I had this redistributed. So that is in your inbox. And members, the amendment, on the first page of the amendment is all existing language. So we pull the statute in, and if you flip over to the second page, you can see the existing language on line 2 that school districts will be adjusted for regional cost differences, and this is a key component of the model, one that Campbell, too, said we needed to do to adjust for our diverse state. And you can see our current policy, which we debated probably since the 50th legislature, and we decided, I think, in the 55th legislature, the hedonic wage index, the Wyoming cost of living index, or the minimum of 100, those three indices. And this amendment would simply update the 2005 hedonic. The Wyoming cost of living index gets updated every year. The people who are riding that floor of 100 who are below that, they receive updates each year, whether to go over that floor. But these folks have been frozen in time on this 2005 hedonic. So that's really the key, is to continue our policy of those choices of those, because I know there's been moves in the past to take the WCLI out or to change to go to 1. And I would submit we'll have those debates again. We've had them in the past. And I think, and I guess I'm speaking to you as a member, not as an appropriations person, but really a guy who's been on these last couple recalibrations, who's watched this issue over the last 10, 12 years. And really, we've got a certain group that are frozen in time. And it's a significant group, about 60% of our ADM. And so with that, members, I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising and strongly against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the same conversation we had 2 days ago, and I've watched people industriously circulate in the last 24 hours, and I understand that there's been a lot of conversations that have happened on this amendment. One of the things that was not pointed out in the previous testimony, I think, is that there was some major policy latitude that was taken on the bringer of the amendment by eliminating the cost of wage index out of the hedonic. And so it is not a simple update. It was an attempt to try and sweeten the pot and provide for more broad support in this body to get this amendment passed. These sorts of intense policy decisions should not be made on the last day of third reading in this body. They should be considered by committees, and they should be worked through our process. It's concerning to me also because there are deeper policy issues that need to be discussed. It's not an issue of just adding $5 million more dollars into the system. It's an issue of trying to create a system that provides for equity. When we brought this an amendment similar to this to update the hedonic last year, it was unanimously rejected by the districts. And because of that, I believe it is the best policy moving forward that we focus on trying to deal with a regional cost adjustment when we recalibrate as mandated by our statutes in 2015. So I would urge you to please vote no.
Any other? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am against this amendment for many of the reasons that were just given by the Chair of Education. I've had the pleasure of sitting on the Education Committee for all of my years in the Wyoming Legislature, and one of the most important things that we do is look at the funding model for education. One of the most significant elements of that funding model are the wage equations that we use. And to be honest with you, as a member of that committee, I take very strongly my obligations to understand each and every one of those wage equations that our districts get to choose from. And not only do they have three choices, but understand that within each of those three choices, there are numerous factors that go into each of them. This here gives us a fourth choice, gives districts a fourth choice. And admittedly, this might be perfect. This might be great. This might be exactly what we need to do. But I don't know that as a member of your committee. And that I honestly feel it my obligation to be able to explain to each and every one of you those elements of the recalibration model. I can't do it with this equation. So what I'd like to suggest to the bringer of the amendment is that he present this equation to the Interim Joint Education Committee and we talk about it. And that we understand it, and that if this is the correct way to go about it, we bring it forth next session as a bill. But right now, I'm on and against this, and I urge you to do the same. We haven't vetted this well enough.
Representative Zawana Trudeau.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, and just to gently push back, because it's a little bit of mild frustration on my part, we keep talking about how this should go through committee. Well, this amendment certainly helps my county as much, if not more, than any other county, and we've never gone this route. And it's interesting to me that although my county has, 10 members out of 60 in this body, not one of us has been on the Education Committee since 2005 when we had an appointment for 4 months. And so these issues are never necessarily fully vetted in the interim because the committee membership for some reason, small school districts really like putting those legislators from smaller districts really like the education committee where people from my county, we got to put in corporations or minerals or judiciary. And so sending it back to committee again, I mean, this issue I think has been studied. We know the numbers. It somewhat holds the larger school districts hostage, and I'm not sure it's appropriate to send it back for more interim study because the makeup sometimes in interim committees never really reflect the larger constituencies such as mine. And so I'm certainly in favor of the amendment, would ask my delegation to vote in favor of it. And I think it is good. We have been talking about this for several years, and it would be good to take this step.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's true that this is being brought at the last minute. The session is about to end. However, it's not the first time that we've had it to consider. We have had an opportunity to consider it a number of different times and have failed to respond. I think it's important to note that the of the two pages, there's only two paragraphs in their entirety that are being submitted. Everything else is old hat. I guess the fellow from Alaska did it best in suggesting that a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. I think we can respond to that by keeping our promise and adopting, suggesting that we adopt the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you. And back to the comments from the good gentleman from Laramie County. You know, when we try to make policy decisions on developing regional cost adjustments, there is no consideration for the size of your community. The intent of the committee has been all along for members from both parties and members of large districts and some small districts is to try and provide for an instrument that adequately deals with the regional cost differences. And that's why you see my good colleague from Laramie, whom I very rarely vote with on anything, at the podium, because she is a woman of principle and a true statesman, I would argue. Thank you, members. Please vote no on the amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to make a couple corrections, CWI is the comparable wage index, not the consumer wage index. The comparable wage index, and that was the exact proposal that was brought last year that was defeated on this floor. That's what I showed you last Friday in the green sheets where my county had $1.5 million more dollars in it. And that was because it lumped Natrona County with Fremont. It pulled Fremont down and lifted Natrona up. Just like it does with Campbell, that the comparable wage index takes Campbell, Crook, Weston, and Niobrara, lifts those up, pulls Campbell down. It was roundly defeated. Even the consultants said there are problems in a diverse state like Wyoming to get 100,000 people. You have to go across county lines. And does not account for the county-to-county differences. And I would say that proposal last year was soundly defeated, wanted to take the WCLI away. And we know that we have such a diverse state. We have some outliers and Sublette and Teton. None of us have ever supported that. We didn't support it last year. I've never supported that. And this proposal that we've made, you look at the cost, that's simply because we've kicked this can down the road 7 years. We're going to update the WCLI schools this year. We're going to update the below 100 schools this year. It's just these folks who are frozen in time. And so you spread that out over 7 years, it's a thing that we don't even discuss or notice. And so the issue is if you want to cut education funding, there's ways to do that. You go into the model and you say class size 16-1. No, let's make it 18-1. Well, that'll probably save you $10, $15 million statewide. Well, let's have that debate. If we want to not reimburse transportation at 100%, let's have that debate. But to starve the model, a key component that Campbell, too, said you will adjust for regional cost differences, to just say, well, it's not convenient for it, let's wait till the next recalibration, then we'll solve it. That's just not an argument that'll stand. And so I really appreciate everybody's patience with this and your attention to it. It's a very important issue, and I encourage your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, members.
Vote in on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47 passes. All in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47 passes. Senate File 47 having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly. Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hunt. Hutchings. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Excused. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Paxton. Petroff. Pieperinen. Reeder. Simlick. Summers. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Wallace. Walters. Watt. Excused. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Hutchings. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blake, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 38 aye, 20 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 47, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 47 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 118.
Senate File 118, introduced by Senator Driscoll, an act relating to eminent domain, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are a series of amendments on Senate File 118. Representative Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 118 and ask for its favorable consideration. Members, I certainly voted no in committee, and it's troubled me for a while, but I was thinking about it, and the reason really is because in 2007 I put a whole lot of work, and we spent a year, and for those of you who are here, you remember the chairman of Ag and I arguing against the majority floor leader, and it was, the eminent domain wars of 2007. And we put a whole lot of work and time, and I guess I've been concerned that this is just kind of hasn't been explored. And so I really went back and looked at it last night to try to see if I could get both sides of the equation and move the bill a little bit further down the road, since I'm pretty sure it's going to pass. So what I've done, it's a two-part amendment. The first part addresses the concern on page 2 of the bill on what the property value is, and I'm amending it to 125% instead of 115%. We certainly heard some great debate yesterday on why that number is concerning to a lot of people and how land can appreciate and depreciate. My other concern with the second part of the bill, what I'm trying to do, we're putting a lot of weight on the condemnor to act in good faith, but we don't put the same amount on the condemnee. And I can certainly see in some situations we keep thinking about this from a rural perspective, but a lot of these eminent domain actions take place in cities. They deal with roads. And so this land appreciation question that keeps coming up really concerns me. And so my thought process is, what's going to happen if you're a condemnee and not acting maybe in the best of faith? I mean, you can prove good faith, but you have an action that's going to sit there for a year or two. And during that time, you can appreciate your property if you're the condemnee. And so in a rural setting, you could be a new ag practice or build a barn or something. But more likely in a city, an action is forthcoming. And so land values around that action, if it's going to be a new roadway, et cetera, property values can appreciate quicker than that 15% within 2 years. And the way the bill reads and the way the eminent domain law reads is you have to do the current value from the time of the initial action initiation, if that makes sense. And so if it's going to be a 1 or 2 or 3 year court battle down the road, your land is appreciated. And I would assume if you're a condemnee and you want to make a good argument in court, you could say your land is, you've acted in good faith, both sides have acted in good faith, but then all of a sudden you come to the last minute and say, oh, look, my land value is actually above this 115. So even though they act in good faith, I still want all the litigation fees. And so that's what I'm trying to prevent with this amendment, to make it easier that they're not going to do anything insidious or mischievous, that we just put right there in the law that if the land appreciates, whatever it appreciates, and they've found that they haven't acted in good faith. You can just go ahead and get the increase in value on your property that that it appreciated within that year or two for these really long actions. Sometimes if these are a six-month thing or shorter, it's not going to be a big deal. But if these are something that gets long and drawn out and goes for several years, you have a difference between the fair market value price of your property at present versus when the condemnation action started. And so I really tried to make sure there wasn't loopholes on either side, and would be happy to answer any questions on the amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising up and against the amendment, first of all, if you look at the first part of the amendment, it deletes the standing committee amendments that we already passed. And for those who don't recall, because we've been beating this dead horse for quite a while, that's when we had to fix the grammatical language. There was a not in there. And so what it does, it takes it back to the original bill as it came over from the Senate, and there were some typographical errors in there, and we're back to square one because the language is nonsensical. There was a mistake in it, and so by passing this amendment, we're going back to the language which had to be fixed as part of a grammatical error, so that simply doesn't make sense. With regards to the latter half, lines 2 through lines 20, quite frankly, to me, we're just making this bill more and more confusing. I'm not sure that the courts can adopt this, and how in the world is a court going to figure out what the value was in 2012 versus 2014 or 2010 versus 2013, assuming the court case went that long? You're making it more and more complicated for the courts, and you're giving an extra burden to the court to figure out not only what the value was at one time, but then the second time, and then figure out how much that's going to do. So I don't think that makes sense. It's confusing, and basically the first part of the amendment just guts the bill, and we've got to start over again. So I move against the bill, the amendment.
I just want to clear up.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I just want to clarify one statement that the prior speaker made. When he said that it deleted the standing committee, the whole standing committee amendment, it didn't. It just deleted the standing committee amendment to that line. So it's just at, what is it, page 5, line 16. It just deleted the standing committee to that line. It didn't delete the whole standing committee amendment. So just to make sure that the debate is accurate on that, that's the effect of that amendment.
Yeah, I believe that's correct after just going through the language with the good representative from Laramie County.
Is that your Representative Nicholas? You were sort of out of order there again. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, I guess you can vote your conscience on 10% versus 25%. We're at 15% right now. And so I don't want you to be confused by that. We're at 15%. The question is, do you want to move it from 15% to 25%? I think 15% is plenty of variance, but the point has been made to me that in small evaluations like a 20-foot-wide pipeline easement through a short run, that's a very small piece of property, and there could be a lot of variance in the appraisal, and likewise, I guess there could be in very large pieces. However, they're coming in with the appraisal and saying this is the number. Well, if it's the number, and if it's going to be imposed on a landowner as that number, then that number ought to have some integrity. And it seems to me it ought to stand 15% one way or the other. If it can't stand 15% one way or the other, I just really question how much integrity was in the number in the first place. And as to the second part of the amendment, it does. It makes it confusing. You're going to introduce a whole other thing in there. And I've been sitting here reflecting on how you would try a case when you get this bad faith standard in here and you have a jury trial, and I almost think you'd have to have a bifurcated trial. I think the jury would have to make a determination and then come back and hear a related but separate cause of action about whether there was good faith involved or not
good faith is hard to prove. It's subjective. It just sets off a whole round, another round of litigation that a landowner can't afford. And I don't think it does anything for the bill at all. So I would urge you to resist the amendment and vote no.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look at the 125%. What it means is they can offer you 75% of the value of your land. And I think we're getting up into the upper reaches of that. I think you need to be a little closer to what the value is. And the last part is the court's going to be the only one that can award the value, and they're the ones that are going to determine. So I just would urge you to resist this amendment.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to propose dividing the amendment. Lines 1 through 5 would be one division, and lines 6 to the end would be a second division.
That's divisible. On division 1, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I'd like to speak in favor of division 1. I think we have to understand how this 125% will be used. The prior speaker just mentioned that this means, a company could offer you 75% of the value of the property. Again, the company needs to be making an offer in good faith, and it may be that they have an appraisal that justifies their final offer. The purpose of the number, whether it's 10, 15, or 25%, is to establish a standard for bad faith. The court is always obligated in a condemnation action to award fair market value. So as part of the court action, the court finds that the fair market value is indeed higher than the last offer. That's what the landowner will receive. What we're doing here is deciding when the company or the governmental entity is acting in bad faith, and then the landowner becomes entitled to attorney's fees. You know, bad faith is when you're dishonest, when you don't try to get to fair market value. And so that's why I think this number is better than the current number, because 15%, as we know from just our own personal real estate transactions, is not very much of a difference. And while I think 25% is still a little on the low side for determining bad faith, it's better. And again, it's important for the body to understand that the landowner is always entitled to fair market value. What we're determining here is whether there's been bad faith on the part of the condemning entity.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, for your first time on Division One.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't buy that bad faith argument. I think there's more involved here. And the question is, the condemnor, whoever it is, comes in and offers a number. And if they can't hit, if that's a number that can't stand 15% one way or the other, it's outside that 15%, then it's not necessarily that they acted in bad faith, but if the condemnee, the property owner whose property is being taken, who never asked for this fight in the first place, now has to go in and invest in his own appraisal, invest in his own attorney's fees, and his own time and effort to prove that there's more than 15% difference between the offer that was made and the final amount that's determined by the court, then it just says he ought to get his attorney's fees and expenses for doing that. It's not a bad faith test on that. It's simply a test of when is an imposition on a property owner so great that he ought to be compensated for making bringing the court the information that results in the correct decision. So that's why I'm against Division 1.
Representative Nicholas on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as we discussed in the past couple of days, appraisals can come in at various different levels. And so what we want to do really here is get away from the appraisals and get back to fairness. If your property is worth $100,000 now under this proposed amendment, and the condemning entity offers you $75,000, so you're losing $25,000, then there are no attorney's fees. So I'm just to say that 25% variation is going to encourage lower offers on behalf of the condemnors. So that's why you're balancing between 10 or 15% and not 25%, because you don't want to encourage lowball offers to come in and take the feet out from under you. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time on Division I? Chairman's want it, sir, or representatives want it.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just don't necessarily agree with those past comments that you're not going to find people offering 24% lower because you're not in a good faith standard then. I mean, if it doesn't rise to whatever the percentage is, and I'm trying to work from what I heard in testimony in committee and what I've talked to people, that there are serious concerns, and no one's trying to be, find a way around the system, but there are legitimate concerns that property valuations can fluctuate to a great level. I think we heard in committee that, you know, the one industry at least would like 30% or 130%. And so I'm just trying to make a workable solution, but I think it's covered under good faith negotiations. If you start doing things where you would prove they knowingly devalued at 20 or 23% on their offer to fall within the 25%, that's not good faith. And so these are for legitimate land valuation disputes between appraisers, and I don't see the same thought process against this. What I'm trying to do here is really just offer some protection. And I know in our minds what I keep hearing when people talk, they keep thinking about these rural areas, but I would remind people a lot of time these are also inside of cities and urban. We have two of these going on in my city right now, and it's different than, you know, an energy company out in the rural areas. And so for those type of land valuations, especially in cities when they're in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, they can vary by more than 15%. And so I would encourage you to support the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? First time on Division One. Second time on Division One. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think in 2007, we worked hard to develop a structure that encouraged both sides to negotiate in good faith and to work together in order to avoid litigation. Because litigation is not in anyone's best interest. And from a company's perspective, if a company's trying to get a pipeline in, the last thing they want to do is litigate, because they're anxious to get their pipe in the ground so they can get their product to market. And, you know, that's the instance that I'm most familiar with, both as a landowner and an attorney. So what I fear if we don't accept this amendment is that we are encouraging litigation. Because if we're only talking about a 15% differential, which could just not be bad faith but a mistake, you know, it's certainly going to be in one side's interest to risk going to court. And what we're going to do is make all of this cost a lot more money. We're going to encourage litigation, and ultimately don't really think we're helping the process. So I would urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
Anyone else on Division 1? We're voting on Division 1 to Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 18. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Division 1 to Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 118 has failed. We're now on Division 2. For your first time, Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one more time on this division. And really my concern is if everything goes according to plan and there's a legitimate disagreement between both sides, and they've both acted in good faith all the way up to the end, and they have to go to court. And it's just one of those things that sometimes these things have to go to court. When I read the law, or when I read this bill, I get, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure an attorney will do this, if after 2 years of fighting this out, the condemnee comes in and says, oh, by the way, we just got a new estimate, a new appraisal, and our land is worth 116% what your final offer was before this all went to court, we get our expenses paid now because that's the current fair market value of the property. We didn't tie the fair market value of the property into what was laid out in 126703 when the date of initiation starts. When I read this, it says fair market value would assume whatever the fair market value is at that time. And so if that's incorrect, someone please correct me. But I just see this way that every single time, if both sides negotiate in good faith to the last day, the condemnee is going to come in and say, it's been 2 years, my property value is up higher than, you know, maybe it was, they were 10% off, and so now it's 15.5% with a two-year extra valuation. And so I just kind of think that every time these go to the final court action, the condemnee can come in at the very end, regardless if everybody's still in good faith, and say, oh, by the way, you have to pay my court costs, you know, public or private entity that went after me. And so if I'm reading that wrong, someone please correct me, but I think it's a significant worry and concern that I have with the bill.
Chairman Sunlight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if we need any more encouragement to vote no on this amendment on Division 2, but to me there's a fatal flaw in this amendment, and it's, we've got to remember this amendment's going to go into Section J of the bill, where we're really talking about contemplation of what contributes to fair market value. And then within this amendment, we have 126.504A, which is the requirements to exercise eminent domain. And there's three provisions underneath requirements to exercise eminent domain, and it gives the condemner a pass. It says if you don't comply with one of these, well then, you know, we'll give you a pass on that. And I just, if that wasn't in there, it would certainly be more understanding why, you know, the purpose of this amendment, because of the conversation, discussion we had on Division 1. But when I see that in this part of the amendment, that 126.504A, that we can give a pass to a condemner who fails to comply with one of these requirements, then I think that's a fatal flaw in this amendment. And because really what we're talking about here is things that involve negotiations and fair market value. And that's fine if we want to have that discussion as we did in Division 1. But when we bring in 126.504, I just think that's it shouldn't be in here, and it really creates a problem for me to try to support this part of the amendment on Division 2.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Mr. Maturity, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, it's going to be extremely difficult to show bad faith, and you've already got a property owner who didn't want this fight in the first place, and now he's got to get into another dust-up over whether it's bad faith or not. It looks to me like the second part of the amendment was put in to ameliorate some of the impact of the first part of the amendment, and we defeated Division 1, so I don't think Division 2 is needed for a number of reasons, and I would urge you to vote against it.
We're voting on Division 2, two-third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 118. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 to third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 118 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 118. Madam Minority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 118 and ask for your favorable consideration. Essentially, folks, this is just a transparency feature added to the bill, and I hope it will be considered a friendly amendment. If we really have issues with our public entities, perhaps not doing their jobs appropriately. We need to have some reports on that and to understand what attorney's fees are being paid by our public entities. So this is simply a reporting feature. The idea of for the concept comes from our own congresswoman who is working for similar transparency in some of our federal statutes that apply or that authorize attorney fees. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I would urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for the Representative Walters for your first time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to support this amendment as well. This report will show the amount of money the state is spending in litigation, and it really is kind of shocking to me that just a few weeks ago we sponsored and passed legislation to fund our highways, and now we're going to ask those same folks in the highways to spend a significant portion of that funding that we just gave them in litigation. So this entire change to the eminent domain laws really doesn't make any sense, and so I would urge support for this amendment and defeat of the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Imagine that. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's a good amendment. I think it's information that... I know. I think it's information that we ought to have at our disposal, and it's information that we may find useful, and it may help us measure how some of our public entities are conducting themselves in these eminent domain proceedings. So no objection to the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I think I'll just call for the question, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 118. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 118 has been adopted. We're on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 118. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 118 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday on second reading, we had a considerable discussion over the words may and shall on page 2, line 2, with a lot of discussion over do we want to mandate it or not. This amendment changes two words, results in, to be grounds for. And it does soften that requirement a little bit. It provides for a decision making that is not mandatory. It gives the court some discretion on whether to apply all of it or some of it, and to allow for some discussion over what at times could be a technical error on those three items that are required. It provides some maneuvering to the court. It's consistent with other statutes we have that allows the court a may requirement to consider all of the options in a matter and all of the items that are material to it. It's very straightforward. There's no hidden agenda there, and it just, again, softens that requirement somewhat.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I spoke yesterday concerning the may and shall. I get a little passionate. I apologize to my colleagues I was pointing at. If you can recall my speech yesterday, just replay it again, just ditto. The statutes that were passed in 2007 says a condemnor has to meet these three requirements. If they don't meet those three requirements, then they don't get to condemn. What this bill is saying is that to the courts, we mean it. The may shall took that away. This is a softening, I agree. It's just another approach at the same result. If we adopt this amendment, what we're doing is giving the court's discretion not to follow the rules that were adopted in 2007. And I'll be much less passionate today on this particular issue, but ask you to vote no against the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that again, I think all of us at times would like the courts to have a little bit of discretion in what they do, not necessarily to have to follow a very strict statute that is a shall requirement
And I think this just gives all the parties that little bit of discretion that I think that when we go to legal issues and have to go to court, that all of us want the courts to act in good faith and consider both sides of the circumstances. So with that, I would call for the question.
We vote in on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 118. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 118 fails. Third reading, or Senate File 118 having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery. Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlek.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 23 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 118 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 136.
Senate File 136, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to oil and gas, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 136 having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux. Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlek.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blickery, aye to no. Blevins, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 38 aye, 20 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 136, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 136 has passed the House. We're not that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 418. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a Light Committee number 1 from the House on Amendments to House Bill 203. The Senate conferees are Senator Scott, Chairman, Senator Landon, Senator Doc Stater and Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 419, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 55, Energy and Natural Resource Education Initiative, ayes 23, noes 6, excused 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 420, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker, Senate file number 60, Medicaid reform. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above by the votes indicated. Noes 30. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 421, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 60. The conference, the Senate conferees are Senator Scott Chairman, Senator Kraft, Senator J. L. Anderson, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 422, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker, Senate file number 106, projects funded by abandoned mine land funds. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. 30 noes. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 423, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed the Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 106. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Nicholas, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 424, Joint Conference Committee Report has been adopted. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 187, Campaign Finance. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the votes indicated, which were ayes 21, noes 9. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 425, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 156, Movement of Livestock in Emergency Situations. The Senate adopted a Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated, which was ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 426, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 55, Service Mining Operations and Exemptions. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 3, conflict 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee 4, Senate File 60 is Harvey, Chairman, Davison, and Larson. Conference Committee for Senate File 106 is Wallace, Chairman, Harshman, and Coleman. We're now at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. Unless Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you join me for a second? We're at that business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File, or on House Bill 77. Chairman Zwanitz or Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Committee Number 1 Conference Report on Message 391 to House Bill 77 and ask for an aye vote. As you'll remember, ladies and gentlemen, this refers to the Wyoming Lottery. The committee got together with members out of the other body, and we did approve all of the amendments, I think about 8 of them, that were corrections or additions that they added on that we felt were very good amendments. That most of them basically specified the fact that we agreed that the corporation was separate from the state, and in no way or manner would the state be liable for any sort of actions that the corporation might take. And of course there was the whole two-page part of that amendment that did such to the... but I think where the... where maybe the disagreements were coming through on that particular bill is where the money flows. So what we came up with is what we consider a great compromise. We are going to let the first $6 million go to cities and counties, and then after that, the rest would flow to the school fund that's in the permanent land trust. And that would happen for 6 years until 2019. And at that point, then they would look at that revenue stream. And I think it's great because we are in that situation where we're not sure how much money is going to come into this. And then it's going to take at least a couple of years to get the corporation up and going to even get a funding stream coming into it. So with that, I believe, I guess the other advantage of that, we did hear an argument on the floor to the fact that we may have to worry if we put all the money to cities and counties that we'd have to worry about backfill in years coming up. And I think this pretty much limits it to $5 million to the city, or $6 million to the cities and counties. So I hopefully we got all the questions answered and we'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question. I noticed that the House was not unanimous. Perhaps you could explain why your committee was not unanimous in your decisions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noticed on the conference report that there is a date certain, June 30th, 2019, and that's when the money will stop flowing to cities, towns, and counties and into schools. But the question is there a sunset on the lottery? This is still your last chance or another last chance to vote no. Just kill the lottery.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the question, why I did not sign off on the conference committee report, and it wasn't anything that I saw as a particular flaw in the conference committee report itself. It's just I have been sort of consistently against the lottery this session, and so that's all that reflects, not a fundamental disagreement with the agreement that was reached.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have opposed the idea of the lottery. I think when we began the debate and the money would flow to the local communities, there were people on the House floor that felt that was a better use of the money, and the switch to the schools was kind of like a switch from a horse to a donkey, and this one's kind of a mule, and so I'm still not very happy with it. I think we need to get back with what we originally voted on. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, mules are really tough. They're really tough animals. I just want to make sure that we all understand where we are here. For those who are opposed to the lottery, you're going to be opposed to concurrence, and you're going to hope that you can drive this thing into a zone of disagreement where the bill fails. So that's your strategy. For those of you who are in favor of a lottery, then give careful thought to this bill. Nobody knows how much this lottery is going to generate. There's been a lot of speculation through the years about whether a lottery would work in Wyoming. I think it's failed more than once simply because people didn't think we had the critical mass to support a lottery. And nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. And this committee went and dealt in good faith and brought back a solution that says, well, if you think it's going to make $6 million or less, then the cities and towns get the money. If you think that this thing is going to be a runaway, like some people think, if you think it's going to make $20 or $30 million, then the excess of the funds over $6 million goes into the permanent school fund, which isn't all bad, because remember, under the Constitution, we have to support the schools. And so if our state lands fail to generate enough revenue, which they do, and the common school fund fails to generate enough revenue, which it can, then as a last resort, we have to go into the general fund and get the money to support the schools, because we're constitutionally required to support the schools. And after the 10 years of litigation that we had, if it ever comes to the point we have to start supporting the schools out of the general fund, I don't think we're going to get a lot of sympathy from the judicial branch over how much it costs or where it comes from, and I don't think we're ever going to talk them into relaxing the standards. So putting some money in the common school fund for the support of the schools is not all bad. And then after 6 years, we can evaluate, and 6 years from now, we'll know something that we don't know now. I bet I can get as many opinions in this room as there are people about how much this thing's going to make, a lot or a little. 6 years from now, we'll know, and we'll have a model that we can then build an allocation formula for that will be a lot more educated than what we do right now. So for those who are opposed to the lottery in general, we know what you're going to vote. For those who are in favor of the lottery, I would say that this is a good middle ground that was very delicately negotiated, and if you want the bill to succeed, I think you ought to vote against it. If it goes down to concurrence, it can go to a... I think you ought to vote for it. I'm sorry. If it goes down to concurrence, we can go to a second committee, but that's a free committee. Maybe the other side appoints one. Maybe they don't. They don't have to. Maybe the committees meet, or maybe they don't. I think I've told people before about one time when a late representative in here who was an old dog, we were on a water deal, and we got appointed to a joint conference committee, and he told me, he said, just go down the hall and tell them we're not meeting. Boom. The bill blew up. That was the end of it. So those are all the risks that we run for those who are interested in having a lottery if we vote for non-concurrence. And so I would urge those people to seriously consider voting for concurrence. I think it's the one way we have a chance to get a bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the chairman. Chairman Tawanitz or Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to piggyback onto the majority floor leader's comments, that's happened this session when we look at our hardship license. We went down there and they said, no, thank you. No second committee. The other thing that we took into consideration as we were trying to come to a compromise is remember that the cities and counties are going to get a little extra wealth from keeping the patronage in their cities and counties and not having them leave the state. So we weighed on that also. So we hope you'll consider this a great compromise, and we would ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number one report to House Bill 77. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller, excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt, excused. Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Northrup, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 25 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 77. Representative Paxton, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have today here with us my good friend from just over the hill in Tommy Sue Willie and her fifth grade class, the Little Snake River Valley fifth grade class is here to visit us today. So help me welcome.
Fifth graders, welcome to the house. We're now at that order of, or we're now, the next conference report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 91. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 91 and would ask you to vote aye. I'm happy to report to the body that for the first time in this long debate, the House has finally prevailed in removing the compass test as a measurement for the accountability system, and we did it with compromise. Essentially, what we're going to allow to occur is the compass test will be given as an optional test. It's already paid for through the ACT suite. We will collect that data, and we will have the opportunity to look at it, but it will not be included as a component of the accountability system. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, fellow members, I stand on and against this concurrence, not because of that. I think that was a good move, but I think too much was given up of the House position. Part of what this body decided to do, and I'm going to kind of run through it for you, is we had an amendment in there that for schools designated as meeting expectations, that they would file a communication plan as opposed to just an improvement plan. That language was modified by the good chairman to make it a little better. The Senate pulled all of that out. In another section, we had pulled out language that said failure to meet improvement goals as specified in the plan for two consecutive years may be grounds for dismissal of the school principal. We pulled that out. We felt that that was the kind of local district's decision on whether to fire a principal or not to fire a principal. And then I guess the one that kind of was my pet project coming down here was Section F, which would have required five educational summits to be implemented around the state for local school districts to come in and provide input on accountability. That's the one thing I heard, I guess, the whole time I talked to different school districts around the state, is they really, in a sense, have felt left out of this process and wanted to provide input. That section was replaced by, I believe, a much more watered-down section, which was just basically an outreach and communication. So I'm certainly going to vote no on this. You know, you guys can vote how you see fit. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the previous speaker about the sections that we gave up in order to win something, but the truth is we've been trying to get rid of the compass test as a measurement because it just doesn't make sense, as a measurement in the senior year. And now we have the opportunity to win that. We can come back next year and work on the stuff that the representative who spoke before me talked about, and I'll help him with that. But today, I ask you to vote for concurrence.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I understand the gentleman's concerns who sits in front of me here on the floor. I don't think those are major issues, and also this is continues to be a work in progress, and we can continue to play with that language as the accountability system moves forward. We have tried for 2 years now to eliminate the COMPASS test, and it has been a battle, and I think that's a major achievement, and we should take that and continue to work on the other parts as we move forward.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the chairman. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And these conference committees obviously are, no one gets everything that they want. I really feel like the things that we compromised on and gave up were things that were not going to significantly impact the legislation. They're issues that we can continue to work on, as was stated by the other member of the select committee that just spoke. And as we continue to develop this system, this body will continue to have input on all of those issues. However, when it comes to the COMPASS test, that is a hard and fast decision that needed to be made. I really feel that the House can claim victory on this, and I would ask you to please vote aye on concurrence.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 91. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Feiler, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Madden, McKim, Miller excused, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Wallace, Walters, Watt excused, Wilson, Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 16 no, 2 excused.
For your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 91. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are you hungry?
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
Are there any committee announcements? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Conference Committee for Senate File 83, Medicaid Fraud Recovery, will meet immediately on lunch adjournment in room H17 for conference number 1.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you. On behalf of Chairman Miller, your Management Audit Committee will meet February 27th in room B67 of the Capitol Building at 8:30 in the morning to discuss the interim subjects for audit.
Vice Chairman Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 75, Honor Farm Horse Program, will meet immediately upon noon recess in H11, the Agriculture Committee Room.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 90 will meet immediately upon noon recess in the Senate Appropriations Room.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you are going to go on the tour of the crime lab, we'll be leaving at noon, carpooling. Find Senator Burns, because he's actually going to be leading the tour.
Management Council will meet at room 302 immediately upon adjournment today to discuss interim topics. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, seeing as how maybe we're getting in the lottery business, if you're not in the adjournment pool yet, the bucket and the list are in my office. Help yourself. It's the honor system on making change.
You've heard the motion that the House adjourned. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And she's been here many times, but I think I've just caught her in the West Gallery as former Representative Brown, and I'm going to get in trouble, the current Majority Floor Leader, because he never introduces her. And so we have with us Margaret Brown.
Any other announcements? You've heard the motion that the House adjourn until 2 p.m. today, recess until 2 p.m. today. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is in recess until 2 p.m.